Thanks for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength4thejourney.com. That's strength4thejourney.com with a number 4. And this radio program, if you're listening by shortwave radio, is program number 33. Today we have a very special guest, and I'll introduce you to him in just a moment. But I want to share a little bit on the updates on what's happening with upcoming crusades. We now have a date planned for November 20th through December 10th to bring back Janet and Ray Clark of Third Day Power. They came last year and we did 16 events in 11 days across Panama, and many people were saved. We had meetings in schools, in colleges, in malls, in center squares, and city parks. And we're going to do the same kind of events again this year. I just came back from a four-day pastors conference near Panama City earlier this week and spoke with a number of pastors, one in particular in the city of Colón, and we're going to do a three-day event there in Colón. And so we've got some great things planned here. 27,000 tracks, chick tracks, just showed up this week. My wife has been busy all week with a stamp for contact information on the back. She did 7,000 of those with my children yesterday. And so we're just gearing up for evangelization of Panama. And I know this is part of the purpose that God has called us here to Panama, is to reach the lost and to be aggressive in the kingdom of God, that Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And our problem in the church today is that we have lost the purpose of our calling, and that is to go reach the lost. And I am determined that when God sent us here, that I'm going to do everything I can to fulfill what God has called us to do. I traveled with a ministry for a number of years, and my special guest did as well. And we're going to be discussing some things about what it's like to be in the ministry, to really have a heart and a passion for the lost. My special guest today is my father. And I'm just really overwhelmed with joy that he's here with me. He's 92 years old, and he lives like he's still in his 40s. He still has an oil exploration business. And he came to Panama now to begin a new life. And it's very inspirational to have someone that is that old and has not given up on life. And life hasn't given up on him either, because he knows that his purpose is yet to be fulfilled. And he's determined to fulfill and hit the tape on his chest when he reaches the finish line. And my father has been very influential in my life. I didn't always live for the Lord. I lived 29 years for myself, and it wasn't until one day when I went to a crusade in Detroit, Michigan, and saw the power of God, that God manifested and made me realize how real he was. But it came because of my testimony of my father, or my father's testimony of what had happened to him. And my father lived a good life before he came to really know the Lord. I never saw him drink. I never saw him smoke. I never heard a cuss word come off his lips. And this is the example I had as a father, but the example that I needed was Jesus living on the inside of him as well. And he had a transforming experience through a ministry of Charles and Francis Hunter. And I'm going to let him share a little bit about some of his experience of where he came from, of just being a good church member of a denominational church, to what happened when the Holy Spirit came in his life. So I want to introduce you to my father. His name is Robert.
Well, I'm very happy to be here, and I have lots of thoughts about what I'm going to be doing, and I still have a connection up in Texas where I'm coming from, but I have to work that out. And then if that's all worked out, then I'm here for good. But I have to make a few trips back to solve the rest of the problems. But my goal is to carry on here with the company that I have. And if that company doesn't work, we've got another way to go to have income and a life here. But I started off in the ministry with Charles and Francis Hunter. They saved my life, really, because I joined them not knowing anything about the Holy Spirit and Jesus being within you. And so when I met them, they said, I should start off by saying that I heard about the Hunters when I was driving in my car in Dallas, Texas one day on KPTT, which is a Christian station. And they said, come and learn how to heal the sick. And I said, what do you mean, come and learn how to heal the sick? If that's true, I've got to find out about it. So I went to the meetings, and sure enough, you know that if you have something wrong with you, the Lord will heal you in Jesus' name. And so that's what I learned. And I went to the meeting that Andrew just mentioned in Detroit. I went to the meetings after that, and I finally went all around the world. And then Andrew couldn't go all the time because he had a big family, and I kept going. But I had somebody to represent me in my work, and so I didn't have to worry about the job. So anyway, I went around the world, and I actually about recording a video for them. I decided video was the way I should go, so I didn't know much about video. But I learned about video and carried a big, heavy old set around, and we had could divide it up between people that went on the missions trip, and we didn't have to check it. But now then, you can't do that. You have to box everything, carry everything, and inspect everything in the whole business. But anyway, we started out going around the world, and it was such a fantastic experience. And I should have written a diary about each day we were out, but I didn't do it. And I can't remember everything now. But
well, tell them a little bit about how, you know, when you first heard that God still heals today, that you had never heard this sort of thing before. This was something that was new, but the difference that I see that happened in you that doesn't happen to many people is they don't want to know, and you wanted to find out the truth, so you went to investigate it for yourself to see whether this really could be real. Is God still healed today?
Well, before that happened, I was in a church. I moved to another area and changed churches because what I was in all my life didn't talk about the Holy Spirit, didn't talk about the healing ministry. I never heard about it. And it was it's a mainline denominational church. But I went to another mainline type, but the Holy Spirit was there, and the pastor was filled with the Holy Spirit, and people would stand up in the audience and give a message in tongues. I said, what in the world are they doing? What's that mean? I can't understand that. And so I finally had another meeting at the same church, and somebody came, and it was Miss America, and she talked about how she wouldn't be Miss America if the Lord hadn't healed her. And she said, I was 2 inches short on one leg, and the Lord healed me. I said, oh, come on, that can't be. You're just giving me the business. That can't be real. And so that's when I heard about how to heal the sick, preaching, and so that's when I learned that that's all true, that you can heal the sick in Jesus' name. And so
this is how the initiation that God is real, and he's so real that his power still exists in his believers. And this is what transformed my life too, is because when I actually saw that God is real, so real that he can heal the sick in his name, through his name, by his power, that it made God more real to me, that maybe heaven and hell are real, maybe the do's and don'ts are real as well. And this is the reality that all of us need right now in our life, is that many of us are living our life as if God isn't real. And Jesus said, those who believe shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It is to demonstrate his power so that we will believe, that we will believe to the point that we obey. That is what really believe means. It doesn't mean that you just acknowledge an historical fact that Jesus is the Christ. It believes that you believe so much that you will obey what he says, and what he says to do and what not to do. And this is how my life was changed, is that I believed so much that I obeyed him. And I knew, it's like I had a conviction of sin that came into my life when I knew he was real. And I know this is what's missing in many people's lives today, is the reality that God is so real, that his word is true, and that those who believe will do what he said he would do and obey. And those who don't believe will not obey. And it's discussed very definitively in chapters 14 through 17 of John, is that if you love me, you will obey me. He that loves me not obeys me not. And this is why we have to get to a point where we really do believe that our life has changed and transformed. And I saw that in your life because something had happened to you that there was a spark inside of you that I'd never seen before. And it brought such a curiosity to me, what happened to my father? Because he was just a good, hard working man. It's like something's happened on the inside of him. I see a spark of life inside of him that I want. And so it brought a curiosity in me, just like you had a curiosity in you to find out the truth. And then once you found out the truth for yourself, then that truth was reproduced in my own life.
Well, in my life, this business of teaching the healing ministry is so great, and that I think that's my calling. And so about 2 years ago, we had a class in the church that I'm in now. They agreed to have that. They have so many things in the church, but the whole healing in the holy ministry, the Holy Spirit ministry is not the thing, way to go, but work on finance and do things like that. That's going to give you better information. But in my book, the healing ministry is the way to go. So we had a class, and we had two people in the class of about 25 that decided they'd form their own church because they could teach the healing ministry at all the time. And so they are now having a new church and going well. And so I think that the healing ministry is the key thing for people to know and learn and realize that the Lord is real and it can be real in their lives.
Well, that's true because, you know, if you don't really know the reality of God, then why would you ever believe that he's real enough to change your ways? If he's just a God that sits on the inside of a book, where's the conviction of sin going to come from? It comes, the Holy Spirit said, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. And that's the Holy Spirit's job. And when many churches today, they don't believe that the Holy Spirit is real or the ministry of the Holy Spirit is real. So the power of God is not existent in the church. And also the conviction of sin isn't there as well because the Holy Spirit is not welcome in the church today. And this is a tragedy that has happened in many churches today. And we have to welcome the Holy Spirit and all the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the power, the gifts, and also the conviction of sin.
Well, in my case, if you pray for somebody and the Lord heals them and they say, well, that's nice, and then they forget it the next day because they're well now, they don't have to worry about anything. But if they really are affected by the healing that they have received, then they want to learn more and be in the business of doing that and seeing that happen and operating in the will of the Lord.
That's right. And it comes to my mind right now is the 10 lepers that were healed. All 10 were healed as they walked along the way, and they cried out for mercy from the Lord. But 9 of those 10 went on and just kept walking the direction they were going. It did not affect their hearts. They just kept, they thought, wow, now I can live a life I've never been able to live before. Now I'm healed. And they went on their own way. But only one of those 10 came back and fell at the Lord's feet to worship him and find out why he healed him. And what was the purpose of the demonstration of healing? And I see that in so many churches today, and so much God has done amazing things in people's lives. But most of them, sadly, just keep on walking the direction they were going. They don't change direction. They don't come and worship at the Master's feet and find out, what was the purpose of my healing? What is the purpose of my life? What do you want me to do now that I'm made whole? And I know that this is what God is trying to say to us as believers today is, hey, I want you to come at my feet and find out the purpose of my deliverance of you. And so I see this so much now is that many people still want to live their own life and do their own thing. And sadly, that's the broad path, doing it your way. The narrow path is coming and worshiping at his feet and finding out, what is the purpose? I want to be obedient to you now.
Well, my goal in coming to Panama is that the business that I have may or may not be the way to go. But what I want to do is, if I live here, I want to have classes in the healing ministry along Charles and Francis Hunter's lines, and they have the videos and all to teach from, and they do a super job. And I think that the people can be healed and have and the Lord can enter their lives through the Holy Spirit. And I don't know any better way to do it than through the Holy Spirit healing.
Well, I know that, you know, when the Lord does such amazing work in our life, that work is reproducible in another's life. You know, the Lord said to me many years ago when I first got saved, because I wanted to go out and change the world, and he kind of grabbed me by the neck collar and said to me, "Let me tell you something, son, you're never going to change anybody. The only one you'll ever change is the guy you see in the mirror every morning. But the changes you allow me to make in you, I will use to change others." And I realized that I had to let God make a change in my life, and this is what he was doing in me. And then he works through us because of what he's done in us. And so the Holy Spirit comes into our life. He does a work from the inside out. He changes our heart. He changes our ways. And all of a sudden, we become fruitful because now it's the Holy Spirit's work inside of us that's producing fruit. And if you realize that every fruit contains a seed or seed inside that fruit. So the life or the reproduction ability is inside the fruit of our life. And so when we allow the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in our life, inside that fruit is the ability to reproduce after its own kind. So the work that the Holy Spirit's done in us now can be reproduced in somebody else. And this is something that all of us need. We need the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be operational and actually manifested in our life so that those other lives can change others. And that's what the healing ministry can actually do, is demonstrate the power of God so that the reality of God becomes real to people, and because of that, their lives are changed, their lives are touched, and then they can go out and affect other people's lives too.
Well, I think that the healing ministry is the best way to introduce a non-believer to be a believer, and he may not, or the person may not be that way, and he just says, "Well, thank you," and that's the end of that. But most people that you heal have a drawing to the Holy Spirit, and that's the thing that excites me.
You know, it reminds me of a time when I was a photographer for a man who owned an organization called American Friends of Turkey, and he'd asked me to be his personal photographer at this convention in Washington, D.C. Well, of course, most of the people that were there were Muslims, and I remember there was a young man who had a back problem, and I just offered. I said, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And so I prayed for his back, and it was completely healed. And he looked at me with this dumbfounded look, and he thought to himself, he said, "Your Jesus healed me? Why would your Jesus heal me? I'm a Muslim." And I just said to him something like, "It's just to demonstrate how much he loves you." And this is the demonstration that we have in the ability to do, but most people deny that power. He said, "The works that I do, you shall do also, because I go to be with my Father." So Jesus made it very clear that this power was available to those who believe. And many people want to say, "Well, that power is not available today." But maybe if we examine our own life, is maybe we don't believe. Maybe we have not accepted the reality, how real he is, to manifest the power in and through our lives. And maybe the issue is not with God doesn't do this sort of thing today. Maybe it's that we don't believe enough to participate in what God wants to do.
Well, I remember times that I was in Nigeria on business, and we were Muslims, were so like 50% of the people we were working with, and this one person was limping, and we went around the corner, and we were away from the main people that we were walking with, and I set him down on the step to grow his legs and see how long, how bad he was, and we were in the middle of that, and right in the middle of that, the gang came around the corner. And I didn't get to finish it. But anyway, he was receptive for that before the people came around the corner.
Well, it's whether you have a hungry heart. Are you hungry to find out the truth? Does God still heal today? Does he still do miracles? Is he still in the business that he was before? You know, my Bible tells me that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That if he healed the sick yesterday, he can do it today, and he can do it forever. That he doesn't change. He changes not. But our problem is that we're the ones who change. We're the ones that do change, and our hearts change, and societies change, and messages change. And we need to really just go back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? And believe and trust what the Bible says, what Jesus said. I spend a lot of times just reading Jesus' words over and over again because I want his words to be ingrained inside of me and to trust his own words. I don't want to trust what somebody else said about his words. I want to read his own words and just take them as truth because he said that God is not a man that he should lie, that his words are true. Whatever he spoke was the truth. And this is what we just have to believe, that he is true. And that, and I just want to kind of, I wanted to maybe, if you can just share a little bit about, you know, what happened to you that you began to hunger for the truth. You didn't really know the truth. And instead of just denying what you didn't understand, you said, I want to know the truth. And this is what I want to encourage the listeners right now is that there may be a lot of old thinking that you have come across. Maybe your pastor said something or the church believes something. But what I want to encourage people is to search and hunger for the truth for yourself. Go into God's Word for yourself because there will be no excuses that God will stand in God's presence when we stand before him, that every man will be responsible for learning the truth and living it for their own life. And I don't just believe what I believe just because somebody tells it to me. I want to find out, I want to research it for myself. And this, I think, has to do with a hungry heart, whether your heart is hungers for the truth. Because he said that if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, that you will be filled. And this is what I know is missing. And so how is it that some people hunger, some people don't? What made it inside of you? If you look back on your life when all these changes were happening and this woman gave this testimony and they were speaking in tongues, why? I'm just curious to know, why do some people reject it as, oh, that's a bunch of hogwash? Or some people say, well, I don't know, but I just want to find out the truth.
Well, with me, I went to the main church, you know, that I mentioned earlier, and nothing ever happened to suggest that there was a Holy Spirit active today and at the healing ministry. I never heard of that before. So when I did hear about the healing ministry, I thought, well, that's a bunch of, that can't be right. I've never heard of that. And so my curiosity came up, and I wanted to find out more. And then I moved to another place and changed churches. And this pastor was a Holy Spirit-filled pastor, and he talked about the Holy Spirit, and he talked about healing, and he said, I understand what the power of speaking in other languages is. And so when people were talking in church, I thought, man, what are they talking about? I never heard of that before, because the mainline church I was in all my life, I never heard that at all. So I was very curious, and I guess
I know. My father's heart still touched when he thinks about it, what happened to him back then. And this is what we all need to have our heart touched and our heart changed, because this is what the Holy Spirit will do in our life. When we allow him to come in, he changes our heart and he touches our heart and he softens our heart. And this is what it sadly is missing in many churches, is the Holy Spirit is no longer welcomed because there's belief systems that have essentially barred him from the church. And so,
well, I made the trips to Washington, D.C. to visit my old-time friends. So I used to work at the National Bureau of Standards there. And so they all went to church to where they went. And I talked about, are you okay? Can I pray for anything about you? And is your back okay? Are your legs okay? And no. And so I prayed for them, and the Lord healed them. And then that didn't mean anything to them. They just went about their life. Now I say, you're still okay? Yeah, I'm okay. But that didn't impress them. So that's what worried me. I couldn't change their lives and change their thinking by the fact that they were healed.
Well, this is what the Bible talks about, different types of soil, that when the Word of God lands on it, that some just falls by the wayside, some falls on stony ground, and there's no effect. You know, it's one thing that's very interesting. I saw in, I believe it's the fourth chapter of Acts, when they were praying in the upper room and said that it said, Lord, grant us with all boldness that we may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal. And when I looked at that word, the word is logos, and it's the same logos that is the sower of the seed that when it goes out. So literally you're sowing the word of God when you're praying for the sick and you're releasing the truth and the word of truth to them. It's falling on hearts. It's not just, you're not just praying for the sick. You're demonstrating the reality of God to somebody, and that seed is going on some sort of soil to either land and bounce off or actually find a place to land in their hearts. And this is what I know happened to my life, is that I was hungry for the truth, that I didn't know the truth, that many people, nobody ever told me that you must be born again. And when I actually saw someone, I saw the power of God demonstrated in front of me. I saw the word of God spoken to me, the truth that you must be born again, that I realized that I was not born again, that I'd never had a transforming, nothing had ever transformed my life. The truth had never transformed my heart. And I was hungry for that. I have a brother I mentioned, I think, on the last radio program that actually had witnessed to me of a meeting like the one that I went to in Detroit, Michigan, called a healing explosion. And someone prayed for him and had laid hands on the sick and actually prayed for him. And he said he landed on his back and someone caught him and laid him down. He said he couldn't get off the floor for 10 minutes. He said he felt like someone's hand was on his chest and wouldn't let him off the floor. And when he spoke those words to me, I said, oh, come on, you got to be kidding. Just like almost like what you said, you know, this can't really be true. But there was a curiosity that was sparked inside of me that I wanted to know the truth, because that was the most important thing in my life, is to know the truth. So I went to the next meeting in Detroit, Michigan, and this is where a friend of mine that I took with me was completely healed. But real quickly, we have about maybe 10, 15 seconds left, but just maybe... I just want to encourage you all. Thank you, my dad, for coming on the program with me and just sharing your heart and your testimony. And I just want to encourage you out there, all those that are listening, that the power of God is still real today, and that it is available to those of us who believe and who are hungering for the truth. And if you've not actually experienced the power of God in your life, just be open, be receptive to the truth. The Holy Spirit is very real. And I talk a lot about on the program about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And without that relationship with Jesus Christ, that there is no relationship that you'll ever have with the Holy Spirit, because He is the doorway. He is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And so if you want to see the power of God, if you want to experience the reality of God, just have a hungry heart and ask God to open your eyes and open your heart, and He will do it. So thank you so much again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Thank you, Dad, for joining us as well. And again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.